If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
720 WGN, John Landecker, good evening. Welcome to the program. That's supposed to be the theme when you start watching Severance. Good. Because they got a lot of Emmy nominations. And to tell us about that and more, Dan Feinberg, TV critic from The Hollywood Reporter, is with us. Thanks for coming on. I really appreciate that, Dan.
It is always a pleasure. It's been too long, John.
Oh, you're right, it is. Doggone it, it's been just too long. I was just saying that to myself earlier today.
What a perfect day to set things right.
You know, my first reaction to the Emmy Awards were, well, this is going to be boring because, how many nominations for Severance, right?
With Severance, you're looking at 27, which, of course, is absolutely bonkers.
Yeah.
But it's kind of the thing that has become recently the Emmy MO is that they nominate 5 or 6 shows with 15 to 20 nominations, and that's pretty much it. So
yeah.
It's sort of like they're watching 10 dramas, 10 comedies, maybe 5 or 6 limited series, and they just give everything to those shows. And it takes some of the fun out of it, because I feel like there's a lot of great stuff that they miss each year, which is not in any way to say that Severance is not a great show.
No,
no.
One
of the shows that we recognized aren't great shows.
No, I'm not saying that at all. Severance is a great show. I'm just saying, as you confirmed there, do they, you know, it's possible to measure the success of streaming these days, I guess, because every, like on Netflix, they have, you know, the top 10 movies, the top 10 series, and I think
but you don't know what they're basing that off of is the thing. It's top 10, but top 10 off of no particular visible metric. And
really?
There's no guarantee that the way that could be, well, why would they necessarily have to be standardized? It's just something that they put out there. There's no necessary reason why those should actually be in any way based on fact. It's entirely like a contract, a moral contract that we have with Netflix and with Hulu and with Amazon, that when they tell us what their top 10 is, that it actually is reflective of the top 10 things that people are watching. There's no reason why it needs to be real, but we just assume it is, and that's okay. We take it on faith, and so but there's no way of knowing that the way that Netflix does its top 10 is in any way similar to the way that Amazon does its top 10. And similarly, because of subscription numbers and all of that, there's no way to know comparatively what being the number one show on Amazon for a weekend is relative to being the number one show on Netflix. So all of the numbers we have for streaming are invariably apples to oranges comparisons, and we just have to kind of accept that and go, okay, that's kind of what it looks like, that's kind of what success looks like, and Emmys, at least, there's something quantifiable. I know that 27 nominations is a success for Severance. I know that 23 nominations is a success for the studio, and that because of that, I know that the people at Apple this morning were having a really good morning, and I know that Penguin having 24 nominations and White Lotus having 23, that means that the people at HBO and Warner Brothers were having a really good morning, and, you know, you can at least go with that as success, and so we take it as we can get it, I guess.
So, you know, what you were saying, let me make sure I understand it correctly, and that what we're looking at in these top 10 lists on Hulu and Netflix, whether it's movies or series, are really not reflective of anything other than this is what Netflix and Hulu wants to put up there in the top 10, because we as consumers, when we see, oh, look, a top 10, that means that did you know that the top 10, that, you know what I'm saying? It's like, well,
I'm saying
that must be good.
I'm saying that's a factor of it. I, you know, to say that it has no meaning whatsoever would be conspiratorial on a level that I don't necessarily want to get.
Yeah.
But to say that one service might be saying that it's a metric of the number of times people have started an episode, it could be that. Another service could be saying this is based on the amount of time that people have watched. But then
right.
In that case, if it's based on the amount of time, how is any half-hour series ever supposed to compete with any hour-long series?
True.
So it becomes this amorphous version of what success looks like. But ultimately, does a show feel like it's successful? You know, do people talk about it on social media?
Right.
When I go to somebody's house for a 4th of July barbecue, is that the show that people bring up? And so there are all of these different ways of viewing success, and that's part of why the Emmys, perhaps in this weird landscape, actually matter more than perhaps they did 20 years ago when everything was broadcast and the Nielsen ratings came out every morning and you knew exactly what success was because it was based on, as ridiculous as the Nielsen system was,
yeah.
It was based on something tangible. So this, at least, it's tangible.
Okay. I take it back.
The thing is, it's all about faith. It's all about, do we believe that
yeah.
because Netflix tells us their number one show is whatever? And so, of course, we totally believed. And something like The Residence, the Uzo Aduba show, for which Uzo Aduba got nominated for an Emmy this morning, it was number one for a little while on the Netflix
yes.
Top 10. And we
right.
go, oh, it must be a success. But then it got canceled last week after one season, so it must be a failure.
But
how do we know?
Yeah, yeah. What was I going to say? Just to clarify for my own brain, I think I know the answer, but who nominates, what organization nominates, makes the nominations for the Emmys?
This is the Television Academy, and it's thousands of industry professionals.
Yeah.
So actors, all the below-the-line talent, your cinematographers, your editors, some publicists are in the TV Academy. There
mm-hmm.
are lots and lots of different ways of becoming a member. And so it's a very large organization. Some of the categories are voted for by specific people in specific fields. Some of them are voted on by the membership, and I honestly lose track of which is which on those.
Right.
But yes, it is the TV Academy, and it is a large group of industry-type people, which might explain why two of the most nominated shows, Studio and Hacks, are about what a great, wacky, chaotic industry the entertainment industry is.
I have to say I love both of them. I really like The Studio is just bonkers. We're going to do more with Dan Feinberg, TV critic for The Hollywood Reporter, right after this on 720 WGN. It's the theme from The Penguin, which received umpteen nominations in the Emmys, and the man to tell us about that is on the phone with us, Dan Feinberg, TV critic for The Hollywood Reporter. So The Penguin is one of those programs this year that got just a whole fistful of nominations, right?
It did indeed, 24, which I think was more than anybody would have predicted, even though I think it was obviously expected to be a big player. It happens that if you look the past handful of years, the limited series category has been kind of the marquee category.
Yeah.
The Emmys. It's
yeah.
been
yeah.
it's been the big, here's where the movie stars are, here's
right.
where HBO and Netflix
right.
and all the big players are playing.
Yeah.
And this year, if you look, it just for whatever reason, and probably some of it had to do with the strikes and, you know, all of the upheaval in the industry, the limited series field this year is, I don't want to say it's horrible, but it's definitely, it's thin. And so you had The Penguin obviously dominate. You had Adolescence on Netflix, which got nominations pretty much anywhere it could. So the big difference there is that The Penguin is nominated in a lot of technical categories that Adolescence couldn't be nominated in. But you look at those two, and they kind of sucked up all of the oxygen from the limited series field, which is a little bit disappointing just because of how great that category has been in the past and how thin it was this year. But that doesn't mean, obviously, that there aren't, I mean, Adolescence has a ton of fans, and The
yeah.
Penguin has a ton of fans.
Yeah.
So it's exciting for people also, because there's always the narrative that certain genre shows don't do well with award voters. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, with the Penguin, it's a superhero show, except that it's kind of a dark underbelly of the world of Batman show. But so, okay, that's 24 nominations for a DC Comics Batman show. With The Last of Us, it's 16 nominations for a zombie show. You've got What We Do in the Shadows, which is a vampire show. So there are a lot of genre shows that are recognized this year. There are a lot of different types of shows that are nominated, which is good for the business because it says there's a lot of good TV being made and people should be enjoying what there is.
Yeah, and another thing that strikes me when every year when these nominations come out, I go, wow, how in the world am I going to be able to watch all of this? I mean, I've watched some of it, and quite a bit of it I haven't. Although, I guess they never really go away, do they? I mean, they're always there to access if you really want to, right?
You think they are, but sometimes things do kind of hop from one streaming service to another, or sometimes things kind of vanish entirely. So I don't want to tell you to rush and watch them, but that's actually one of the advantages of this situation where these shows get so many nominations. And so it really, if there were 500 some odd shows last year, this is not reflective of 500 shows. This is reflective of 20 shows.
You know, so I got something for Brett, our engineer. Speaking of last year, the 2024 Emmys, Shogun took Best Drama Series and 17 other awards. Just wanted to clear that up. So do you think there were... I don't see anything in here for A Handmaid's Tale, which wrapped up. That's right.
Handmaid's Tale got one nomination.
It did.
I'm trying to remember where it was hiding. But it wasn't one of the big categories, and definitely this was not one of those years where Handmaid's Tale dominated, and even someone like Elizabeth Moss, who always in the past get nominated, this year did not get nominated. So there were a lot of shows that reflect one of the less appealing trends in the industry, which is TV shows kind of vanishing for 3 years and then coming back. And so for every show like a Severance or a White Lotus, where people are like, sure, I'll jump right back into it, Handmaid's Tale maybe didn't get the same momentum. Or something like House of the Dragon, which was nominated for Outstanding Drama Series in its first season, gone for 2.5 years. This year it got a bunch of technical nominations, but nothing huge. Squid Game. Remember when Squid Game was the big Emmy thing all everyone talked about?
Yeah.
This year, Invisible. So, I think there's some lesson that someone could learn about if you make people forget about shows for too long, sometimes they will just, forget about them.
Yeah, and that's these are the only examples of that, I think. I don't remember any regular broadcast TV, maybe I'm wrong, back in the day where a show would leave and then come back after 2 years.
This is a step that is part of the modern television landscape. But again, like I mentioned about the limited series category, a lot of these shows really were delayed by the strikes two summers ago. And so these are shows that probably got their production started in early 23, but then had to shut down for 8 months. And so everything just got delayed and delayed. And with broadcast shows, obviously, you can premiere with one or two episodes that are finished, but if you're a Netflix show, an entire season has to be completed.
Yeah.
You can't be running behind trying to catch up. You have to have everything in the can, which just changes the entire equation.
Well, it looks like, I mean, I don't know, but it looks like almost every show is nominated, but were there any snubs of shows that expected to be nominated that weren't?
I would say that really and truly, this was as close to a quote-unquote predictable year as one would get. And it comes back again to the limited number of, say, for example, limited series. There were really only five or six limited series that were even in contention. So it really was, it was Adolescence, it was the Penguin, it was Dying for Sex, and then they were kind of flipping coins from there. I think that with on the comedy side, once again, it was always going to be The Bear against Hacks. I think there was a question of will the studio resonate with everybody, or will it be too inside baseball? The answer is it absolutely resonated. So that's there. On the drama side, there was some question how big an impact The Pitt would have, because it was a new show, so it was a little unproven. It turned out to have had a very big impact. But I really think that the so-called experts who were doing their prognosticating yesterday and the day before, I think most people probably got in the 75 to 80% correct range, because it just, there weren't that many things where you just went, wow, they liked that show a lot more than I expected them to, or right. Wow, that show that was supposed to be nominated for everything somehow got nominated for nothing. There were one or two things that were minor disappointments or that kind of outstripped what the expectations were. Mostly, though, this is what people would have predicted the nominations would have looked like, for better or for worse.
Yeah. I look at the best drama series. I've seen The Diplomat, The Last of Us, The Pitt, Severance, and The White Lotus. That's it so far. But I'll get around to watching them.
And it's a somewhat smaller group of contenders. Yeah. So, you know, I do think that if you look at it realistically, on the drama side, it is likely to be White Lotus versus Severance. And I think those two shows are going to get a lot of the trophies. And so that's just what it's going to be. And if you want to be ahead of the game, those are the things you need to make sure you've seen. If you want to know what's going to win on the comedy side, I think Hacks, The Studio, and The Bear are the things that are most likely to win. On the limited series side, I think Adolescence is almost certainly going to take basically everything. So you know, that means that you might have missed things, and so you can try catching up. And should, because there's a lot of good TV out there, but.
You know, I have to ask you, Dan.
To predict the contenders.
I have to ask you. I watched The Bear. How was that a comedy?
It is truly one of the strange questions, and it is the situation. The way I put it to people, the first season of The Bear to me is probably 65% to 35% comedy.
Okay.
I really think the first season of the show is more a comedy than not.
Okay.
And so that is where the show goes, because that was its first season. Mm-hmm. Now, the second season, I would say probably closer to 50-50. And I would say that probably the past two seasons have been closer to 30-70 towards the drama. But once something gets in a category, it's hard to move it out of that lane. And it's also, if you've got a show that's been wildly successful in a category, let's move it out of that. But it's a question everyone asks, and I think it is a fully reasonable question to ask. I still laugh at The Bear, but do I laugh as often as I'm being uncomfortable or as often as I'm being sad for everybody? No, at this point, it is more of a drama than it is a comedy, but it's in the comedy category. Yeah.
Dan, thank you so much for being with us, and always great to talk to you. And I'll be reading The Hollywood Reporter and the things that you have to say about whatever it is you're going to critique. So thanks for being with us. I appreciate it.
Always a pleasure.
All right, Dan Feinberg.